There is something truly evil about plaid. It might look like just a crisscrossed grid of colors, but in my experience, much like comets and black cats, plaid is a harbinger of doom. The amateur bagpiper who played at my grandpa's funeral wore plaid. The scratchy suit I was stuffed into 3 Christmases in a row was plaid. Dad's boss, who promoted Dad and is therefore ultimately responsible for the disaster my life has become, probably wears plaid boxer shorts. The evil has to be hiding somewhere. And eviler than all other plaid things is the monstrosity I'm staring at from across my bedroom like it's a tartan rattlesnake. "It's a tie, Michael," Mom said after I opened the package from the school uniform supplier last week and threatened to test out how flame-retardant the polyester fabric really was. "You've worn them before." "Yeah, to funerals and dinners with grandparents at stuffy, boring country clubs. Not to school. I've been to 4 different schools, 2 public, 1 private, and 1 experimental learning community, and none of them required ties. There are lots of things Mom promised would be no big deal, like moving for the 4th time in 10 years, or changing schools 1.5 months into 11th grade, or switching from a public school that observes winter break to a school whose motto is Deus Meus et Omnia, my God and my all. So far, she's been epically wrong about all those things, so there's no real reason to trust her about the tie. In 15 minutes, I have to leave for what should be the 2nd Monday in October, but is instead my 1st day at a school I've never even seen. The plaid tie sits on top of a box of books I still haven't unpacked. It's mocking me. I grab the tie and loop it around my neck, under the collar of the mandatory required white button-up shirt that's only half tucked into the mandatory required stiff navy pants. I can't remember exactly how to put the tie on. Attempt number 1, I go under instead of over, and it twists and curls into itself like a birthday party noisemaker. Attempt number 2, I measure wrong, and the skinny half sticks out 3 inches from behind the fat half. Attempt number 3, it's inside out. I put it on inside out. This must be what someone about to be hanged feels like. How the noose feels so limp and harmless, even though it's going to slowly, painfully suck the life out of him. I should have asked Dad to give me a refresher course in basic man skills before he got on the red eye for Brussels last night. But that would have interfered with my record-breaking 6 days of not talking to him. It would be one thing if we moved all the time because we had to, if Dad was a soldier or a diplomat or an escaped convict. But in reality, Dad's job has something to do with sales and the importation of plastic pool covers, and we move each time he reaches for that next rung on the corporate ladder. I give up on getting the tie straight and pick up the final piece of my uniform, a navy blazer with a patch over the left breast that reads, St. Clair's Preparatory School. They could have called it hell and saved on the embroidery costs. Some people are cut out to follow a higher being, like God or the hosts of the Home Shopping Network. But there are other people, people like me, who find it harder to follow the whims of parents or teachers, or 2,000-year-old undead Jewish mystics with strong opinions on divorce. I didn't lose my faith or anything. I never had it in the first place. I never believed in any kind of God. Just like I never believed in werewolves or ghosts, or that mixing Pop Rocks and soda would make your stomach explode. Okay, I did believe that last one, but only until A.J. Rubin pushed a can of Coke and a bag of rock candy across our kindergarten lunch table and dared me to try. So I did, and my stomach didn't explode. And as I gulped down the rest of the soda, I had my first epiphany. Just because a person says something is true doesn't mean it is. And anyone who tells you otherwise is probably trying to keep you from doing something fun.